this afternoon's gospel is a challenging one. There's no way around it. Jesus says that if we love anyone more than we love him, if we love even our father, mother, son, daughter, more than we love him, then we are not worthy of him. And if we do not take up our cross and follow him, again, he says, we are not worthy of him. We're not really qualified as his disciples. So the lines are drawn here. If we want to be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ, then he must be the first in our life, our first highest priority. And we must be willing to sacrifice, to pay the price. I said this is challenging. So, now, whenever this sort of talk about crosses and sacrifices and talking about losing our life in order to gain it, whenever this kind of talk comes up, people get discouraged, or sometimes they get frightened, or it sounds too negative to them. And any one of us could have that reaction. We so easily forget that the message of Jesus Christ is good news. It's gospel. And so when we hear him talk about challenges of being a disciple, it sounds to us like bad news, not good news. And we tend to wonder if we have some other option. So what do we do with this? Jesus Christ crucified is at the very center of the whole story. That's why we always have Jesus on the cross in front of us at the Mass. There's just no denying the cross in Jesus' life, and because we're his followers, there's no denying the cross in our life either. There's no denying it, there's no avoiding it, there's no erasing it, there's no changing it. Jesus makes it very clear we have to take up our cross. So if you're looking for an easy way, a smooth, comfortable ride into heaven, I'm sorry, there isn't one. But we have to remember, the Lord is on our side here. He's not against us. He's not deliberately making things hard for us. He wants us to have eternal happiness, even more than we want it for ourselves. He wants our loved ones to have eternal happiness, even more than we want them to have it. So the message of the cross, as bracing and as challenging as it is ultimately a positive message, because it bears such good fruit. So we shouldn't be so quick to conclude when we hear a gospel like this, that, or whenever we experience something painful or hard, we shouldn't be so quick to conclude that it must be bad and we should avoid it at all costs. No. And this is very important to keep in mind when we're suffering, when the cross gets heavy, when we're paying the price, when it seems like it's all planting and no harvesting, it's all giving and no receiving. And that does seem like that sometimes. Those are the times we have to remember the bigger picture. Not a picture in which there's no suffering or no cross, but a picture in which suffering has become fruitful. No gift, no sacrifice ever goes to waste in the Lord. Now, to get a feel for this, let's take a look at the simple story from the Old Testament, the story from the life of the prophet Elisha. This is today's first reading. The story is this: there's a rich woman who, with her husband, decides to set up a guest room in their house for the prophet, so that whenever he comes into town, he has a place to stay. It's a kind gesture. It's an act of charity for Elisha. It's also a way of respecting and serving God, because she knows that Elisha is a man of God. Well, the unexpected result of this generosity and this hospitality on the part of the woman is that a year later, she gives birth to a son. And that was promised by God through the prophet. Well, what's the lesson of this simple story? The lesson is, the one who gives receives. The one who sacrifices is rewarded. Very simple. Right? Very simple. Give and you will receive. Simple until the giving is hard. Simple until it costs us, until it hurts. Then it doesn't seem so simple anymore. But this is exactly the simplicity and the wisdom of the cross. And it's at the heart of today's reading. And Jesus expresses this very same fundamental lesson in today's gospel. He puts it this way: whoever receives a prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the principle works even if we're not serving a prophet. Listen to what Jesus says. Whoever gives a cup of cold water to one of these little ones to drink, because the little one is a disciple, amen, I say to you, he will surely not lose his reward. So even a little gesture like giving a cup of cold water to some little person reaps a reward. Give and you will receive. So notice this. Jesus does not only talk about causes and about costs and about death. He also talks about rewards. The word reward comes up again and again in today's gospel. Rewards, fruit, new life. After all, Jesus' own death is not just another death. It's a victory over death. That's what we understand in the cross. And that's what St. Paul writes about so beautifully in today's second reading, his letter to the Romans. He says, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Maybe at another time we can reflect more deeply on that beautiful reading. Let's stick with what Jesus says here. Notice he does not say, give so that you will receive. And he does not say, give and you will receive what you want. He does not say, give and you will receive what you want when you want it. No, he says, give and you will receive a reward. Part of the challenge here, for us who are stumbling our way along, the challenge of faith is that we don't see the reward right away. Even the woman in the first reading, she didn't suddenly give birth to a son. That happened a year later. Often we don't even know what the reward is. And that's part of the challenge of faith. It's a faith journey. We put our trust in God because God is good. We put our trust in him. He's trustworthy. He assures us of an eternal reward. We're not treating God like some kind of a heavenly vending machine where we put in the money and we get out the thing we want. We're not manipulating him into favoring us. What we're actually doing is we're joining him in his own way, the way of love. This is how love works. Love always involves sacrifice. Love is not only about what we get. Love is also about what we give. So let's go back to this simple story about the woman who hosted the prophet Elisha. We look at it and we say, okay, she did good to him and she gets good in return. Good karma. That's how people might read it. No, that's too limited a way of looking at it, as if you do good and that's why you get good in return. It makes it sound as if the woman is the one who starts the process because she does something good. Actually, where did she get the means to offer Elisha hospitality? And where did she even get the idea of doing it? From God. You see, God is the starting point. God, who is love, he's the starting point. He gives before we give. He gives before we even have the idea in our minds that we should give. So the woman, what she's doing is she's putting what she has received at the service of God. And in doing that, she opens a space in her own heart. She opens a space in her home, in her life, for God to do more. So she has received from God, she gives. She receives more. That's how it works. It's not just a nice idea either. It's not easy either. Hospitality at first always sounds rather simple. Let's do a good deed for a visitor. But when a guest shows up again, or when a guest shows up unexpectedly, then it's a hassle. It's a burden. Or if a guest shows up when we're busy doing something else, or when the house is a mess, or when we don't have any food prepared, well, then hospitality is costly. But it's still nothing compared to the reward. See, this woman, she didn't do it in order to receive anything in return. She certainly didn't. She didn't even have in her mind the idea that if she offers hospitality to the prophet, she'll bear a son. She didn't make that kind of a connection. That was God's plan. But because she gave of herself, because she gave what she had received, there was room in her life to receive more from God. And that's how it works. That's the lesson today, or one lesson we can take today. The cross, meaning any kind of suffering in our life, will always seem bad to us in the moment. But faith tells us, and today's readings tell us, that no, it's not bad. Don't fall for the idea that you have to preserve your own life. That's a bad idea. Selfishness is a bad idea. Self-centeredness is a bad idea. It leads to losing the very thing that we're trying to save. And Jesus teaches us the opposite. He says, take up your cross and follow him. Give and you will receive. Try this out. Try this out. Give a cup of cold water to some little one. Try giving. Be willing to give. Be willing to suffer. Be willing to love. It will hurt, yes. It will cost, yes. But this is the way to the fullness of life.